text is the epistle reading from Romans 3. We bow our heads and pray. Lord, this blessed Sunday, as we celebrate the Reformation, teach us the truth. Teach us the truth of sin, of salvation, of Christ, of forgiveness, and set us free. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your church now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Repeat after me, First Lutheran Church and visitors, good to have you here this great Sunday. Repeat after me. Let's hear you. It's Reformation Sunday. We don't hold back today. Repeat after me. Are you ready? For we maintain that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. There are many, many great Reformation Bible verses, and we've read a lot of them already today, and there are many others. That is my favorite. Romans 3, verse 28. So I want to talk about it today. They say that John 3, 16 is the gospel in a nutshell. I suggest Romans 3, 28 is the Reformation in a nutshell. This is what it's all about back then and today. This is what Luther and the other reformers taught and taught and preached and preached and taught and taught and fought for and fought for and died for. This great doctrine, this great truth, that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. I'm going to say four things about it today for our meditation. I want to break up this great Bible verse into four sections. And each section is going to teach us a lesson. Let's begin. The first part of the verse says, for we maintain. Say it with me. For we maintain. Let's stop there. It's the first part. These three words would teach the church, you and I, teach us to be ready. Reformation readiness. Are you ready? Are you alert? Are you watchful? Ready for what, you ask? Ready for the enemy. Ready for opposition. To maintain something means to protect it, to hold fast to it, to keep teaching it, which implies if you have to protect something, there's somebody out there who wants to take it away. Somebody out there who wants to alter it and change it and poison it and corrupt it. So we must maintain this. We don't modify this. We don't minimize this. We maintain it. We hold fast to it. And who is the great enemy that has his whole desire to ruin this doctrine, to ruin the gospel, so that nobody believes and we all go to hell with him? The great enemy is the devil and all the demons of hell. And the devil is still working 500 years later. He's been working throughout the history of the earth to ruin this gospel message, to ruin Romans 3:28. That we would not believe in Christ, would not be justified, and would all go to hell with him. So be ready, church. Fend off false teaching and heresy. Protect this great doctrine that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. The devil wants to change this verse in two ways. And beware of these heresies, for they are ever present. Don't think they're not. And they lie in our hearts as sinners. And they lie in the heart of Satan. He would change this verse, first of all, to say, for we maintain that one is justified by faith along with works of the law. You say it's just two words, little difference. That leads you to hell if you believe that. But the devil, in a very sneaky way, would say, go ahead and believe in Jesus. You want to believe that he died and rose? Go ahead, believe, but there's still stuff you got to do. You're not justified, you're not saved purely by faith, along with your good works. So make sure you do good works. Fast, pray, and give money to the church, and give more money, and more money, and more money, and do a few more good works, and fast, and pray, and love your neighbor. Make sure you do your part. Isn't that fair? Jesus did his part. He died and rose. Now you do your part. You do your good works. And all that is heresy that leads to hell. For you and I cannot do any works that contribute to salvation. And the other lie of the devil is just as bad. The devil would want to change this verse to say, for we maintain that one might be justified by faith apart from the law. Might, could be, but maybe you're so evil, maybe you're so bad that God would never justify you. Come on, God knows all those secret sins. God knows what you're about. God knows how evil you are. You just might be justified, but then you might not be. You might be beyond grace. You're so bad and evil. And that creates despair. And the devil loves despair and doubt. And both errors lead right down to hell. So beware, be ready, church. Fend off false doctrine. Be alert. Discern what I preach, what you hear, what is taught. We're ever ready. You know what is the worst thing about Halloween? I read this week, the worst thing, and I would agree, the worst thing about Halloween is candy corn. Who agrees? Candy corn. And one person writes this about candy corn. The worst thing about Halloween is, of course, candy corn. Candy corn is the only candy in the history of America that's never been advertised. And there's a reason for that. All the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1911. Isn't that the truth? Old, stale candy corn. Don't give it out, parents. Come on. It's old. It's stale. Today we celebrate what is the best thing about Halloween and every other day of the year. And that is Christ and the gospel. And our gospel is old. It goes back to the mind of God before creation. And yet it is new today. It is fresh today. The forgiveness of sins. Don't let anyone tamper with it, change it, alter it. The next part of this great verse. That one. Say that with me. That one. Stop right there. For we maintain, be ready for false teaching. That one would teach us, the church, to reach out. To reach out with this gospel of forgiveness. Go tell every nation, every tribe, every language. Reach out. That one implies that God wants to justify and save everyone, anyone. It's for everybody. The verse does not say, for we maintain that the rich are justified by faith. Or that the poor are justified by faith. Or that the middle class are justified by faith. It doesn't say that the Republicans are justified by faith. Or that the Democrats are justified by faith. Or that the Germans are justified by faith. Or it doesn't even say that the Missouri Synod Lutherans are justified by faith. Oh my! It simply says that one, anybody, everyone is justified by faith. This gives us our mission. We want everyone to know the forgiveness of sins. To know the cross, to know the resurrection. We know it, we rejoice in it. We want the whole world to know because God wants to save everybody. It's a very universal, general phrase that one is justified. This is our mission in two little words. Make sure everyone you know knows they can be justified by faith. Romans 3:28 is my favorite Reformation verse. My second favorite is Romans 1:16. Do you know Romans 1:16? For I am not. We'll be here for a while. Vicky, where are you? You know this. For I am not ashamed. Thank you. For I am not ashamed of what? I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, first the Jew and then the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know you're not ashamed today, and neither am I. We are rejoicing, celebrating, praise be to God, beautiful service. We are proud in a good sense. We're Christians. We've been saved. We know the gospel. We're not ashamed today. Let the whole world know. Blare it out with trumpets and instruments. But will we be ashamed tomorrow when there's not another 200 and so people around us? Will you be ashamed in your workplace, ashamed before your neighbor, ashamed at the meeting you go to speak up for Jesus? One of the most amazing things to me about Luther that I like to comment on most reformations, Luther had about a 30-year public career from around 1517 when he became a priest to 1546 when he died. 30 years of public ministry as a pastor, priest. And in those 30 years, do you know how many pages worth of stuff Luther approximately wrote? This is an estimate, obviously. He approximately wrote 60,000 pages worth of stuff. 60,000 pages in 30 years. That's 2,000 a year, which comes out to about 5 to 6 pages of stuff a day. Not even our youth text that much in a day, do they? I mean, 5 to 6 pages of stuff you're writing out every day of your life for 30 years? Wow! Small catechism, large catechism, Augsburg Confession, sermon after sermon, lecture after lecture, letters to people encouraging them, hymns that he wrote that we sing today. He wrote and wrote. Why did Luther write so much? To get the gospel out. He wanted to share the news with everybody that one is justified by faith apart from the law, the gospel. Friend, you don't have to write 60,000 pages. You don't have to write a hymn. Just tell your neighbor. Tell that family member who doesn't come to church. Invite them. Love them. The next part, the great treasure of this whole verse, the meat and potatoes, is justified by faith. Shout it. Is justified. That's weak. Come on. Is justified by faith. This is the treasure, the meat of this great verse. This would teach the church to rely on Christ alone. Be ready, church. Reach out, church, and rely on Christ alone as the one who can justify you. When you hear the words justified by faith, you ask the question, faith in who? I'm going to be justified by faith. Faith in who? Who am I going to trust? And of course, there's not 10 people, 5 people, or even 2 people. There's one person to put your faith in that will justify you, make you right, and that person's name is Jesus. So when we hear that great phrase, we think of the birth for me and you. We think of his life for us, his death for us, his resurrection for us, his ascension for us. He now sits at God's right hand for us. He will come again for us, all for us. I can't help but think of Christ when I hear those words, justified by faith. Faith in Jesus for us. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. To be justified means to be literally in the right way, on the right road, we might say. Meaning you're justified when you're on the same road with God. You're in the right relationship with God. You and God are one. Myself, a sinner, way down here, and God is holy. How can I be one with God? How can I be holy and righteous in God's sight? How can I ever be with God when I'm so bad and he's so good? It happens through Jesus. It happens through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. He justifies me. He makes things right. He reconciles me. He atoned for my sin. He takes away my sin. He took away my debt. He conquers the devil. Through Christ, I'm justified. You see, Christ is the justified one. Only one person pleased God on this earth. His name is Jesus. And Jesus said that when he was baptized. This is my son whom I loved. I'm well pleased with him. Finally I have someone I'm well pleased with. And God said it again when he raised him from the dead. This is the justified one. This is the one that pleases me, the righteous one, the perfect one. And now you see, as we have faith in Christ, as we're covered by the clothing of Christ, we too, through Christ, are justified and righteous and pleasing. When I was a kid in 5th, 6th grade, around then, I still wanted to trick-or-treat. All right, older kids, you're going to go trick-or-treating? Emmy, Ellie, they trick-or-treat, and Wadsworth, you don't know, we'll see. I mean, I like candy, guys. I'll beg for it, okay? Anyway, I knew that I didn't have a real good reputation in the neighborhood anyway. I was a busher kid, not a real good reputation. And here I am, about a 6th grader, trying to get candy. Wasn't going to work real well. So who did I hang around? My little brother, Jimmy. Because Jimmy was about 4 years younger, and Jimmy, being a 1st grader, 2nd grader, oh, he's so cute, Jimmy. He's so adorable. He's the good busher boy. We've had 3 bad ones. He's the good one, Jimmy. And Jim would get all dressed up with his fancy costume and go out, and all the neighbors, oh, look at Jimmy. He's so cute. He's so adorable. And they give an extra candy bar for Jim. And where would I be? Right behind Jim, lurking in the shadows with my bag, getting around him. Fill me up too. I got a gift through Jim. I got a wonderful treat through Jim, but just candy. I was pleasing in a way through Jim. He covered me. And that's Christ, a simple illustration. Faith is remaining close to your brother, Jesus. He's the adorable one. He's the perfect one. Faith is clinging to him, reaching out for him, eating his body, drinking his blood, hearing the word, being with him, because through him I get the treasure of heaven, the forgiveness of sins, not in my bag, but in my heart. And to finish up this great verse, apart from works of the law, let's hear it. Apart from works of the law, this gives me reformation rest. This is rest for the burdened soul. This is rest for the weary and the heavy laden. Dear friend, the pressure is off. The burden is off you. You are justified. You are saved. You are forgiven, not by anything that you do. So the pressure's off you. The burden is off you. You are saved purely by the work of Christ. Mind you, you are saved by works. We are saved by works, but not our works. It's the works of Jesus alone. He finished it. It is finished. I don't have to finish it. And so I have rest for my soul. I have this deep peace. Christ has done it all. I don't have to do it. Now my good works are just an overflow of thanksgiving to my God that I freely do for my neighbor, and thanksgiving to God and out of love for my neighbor. Not because I have to. I read in the paper this week an article. It was written in jest, I'm sure. But the title caught my eye. The author suggested what might unite people today. You know, we're divided, especially around an election. We're divided. We're in turmoil. What's going to unite everybody? What's going to put to rest all the fighting? And you know what the suggestion is? Pizza. I guess today it would be pork, huh? Stay for the pork today. But it was written kind of in a humorous way, because everybody likes pizza. One thing we can agree on is pizza. And most people like pepperoni pizzas. Let's just gather around pizza and let's be united. Of course, it's a joke. We know what will unite us to each other and to our God. And what's going to put to rest the conflict between a sinner and God? What's going to put to rest the conflict between each other, our fightings, our bickerings, our arguments? What finally puts all that to rest when we have comfort and peace? It's not pizza or pork. It's a person that is named Jesus. May you know that rest as Luther finally grew to know it. It's been done. It's finished. You're forgiven. You're saved. You're justified. Christ has done it all. Praise be to Christ. One more time. For we maintain. Be ready. That one. Reach out, is justified by faith. Rely on Christ totally, apart from works of the law. Be at rest, church. That's the Reformation in a nutshell. Amen. We rise.